y'all. Welcome to Beautifully Healthy. I am Allison Key and joined today by Erica Smith. As usual, she's always here.
Hello.
We're always doing this together.
Oh, yes.
We don't do much apart.
I know. When I don't see you for like a day, I'm...
Where have you been? What's going on?
Where are you?
And we are excited today to have Jennifer Dobbs on with us.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about you and what you do.
I am a social worker, basically, in several different ways. But basically, I'm a social worker in Harrelson County, which I love. If you've ever heard me talk, you know how much I love Harrelson County. Even though we're small, we're mighty. And everybody steps up to the plate and takes care of each other. And I have large counties call me to ask me how to do what we do. And you just have to be a Harrelson County person.
To get it. Did you grow up in Harrelson County?
I did not. I met my husband at Jack State.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
Mm-hmm. My father is a pastor, so I...
Oh, preacher's kid.
Mm-hmm. So the PK moved like 5 different schools and ended up, so I graduated from Early County High School, South Georgia, and then went to Jack State and met Chris.
And wound up here in beautiful Harrelson County.
Yes, started at Harrelson County DFACS. I loved it.
So Harrelson County is a special place for sure, mm-hmm. but it's also got its own unique set of challenges.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
So what do you do in the county? Like what with the CCC and tell us all about the good, the bad, the ugly and everything.
Well, my job is I'm the Harrelson County Family Connection Director. And what we do is meet with different agencies like DFACS, DJJ, the school systems, housing authority, mental health, basically anybody that works with families or provides services for families, basically. So in doing that, I'm constantly having to find resources for families and for the school system and those agencies I named. So
your role in your organization, you kind of stand in the gap. For lack of a better word, you've got all these organizations who have their own little facet or silo for families in the county, and your group kind of connects all of those things and
that's the entire purpose,
the gap.
Is to connect it and make sure everybody knows what everybody else is doing.
Perfect.
And what everybody else needs, because when you all get together and discuss it, it works out perfectly. There's always somebody who can provide that need or guide you to it, or we can all team up together to meet that need instead of the one agency trying to figure it out themselves.
Awesome. So you're just breaking down barriers is what you're doing.
Hopefully so, yes.
That's the goal. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
So about 10 years ago, my phone was always ringing off the hook for, and this was when I was at Talifis Primary School, doing social work there through their pre-K department, and families were always calling for services and the counselors were asking about resources, and I started meeting with some pastors because that's who you go to to meet needs, and a handful of us and some business owners started eating lunch together and just discussing who we're helping, how we're helping, what we should do better and what we should stop doing. Because I'm bad about, sure, let me give that to you, instead of making sure they can get it themselves the next month. You know, I have to stop myself and make
that
sure.
Giving them a fish versus teaching them the fish concept.
Yes, that one is hard for me because every situation seems like an emergency. And to that family, it is an emergency. So your automatic reaction is to meet that emergency need. And then we forget to make sure we've put into place how they can meet their own needs going forward. So that's kind of how the Community Christian Council got started, actually, is us just meeting together and talking about what we need. We started with food out of our church fellowship hall. I think the first year we did 25 food boxes, doubled it, like one Christmas. Then the next Christmas, I think we did 50. And then we had some other churches call and say, hey, we want to help do what you're doing. And we would get those food boxes and go deliver them, or we started our first Christmas celebration back then, and we started having free haircuts and free blood pressure checks, free pictures with Santa, free family pictures, which was a big deal. And that kind of evolved into us becoming a nonprofit and ended up in the old Holcomb's grocery store in Tallapoosa, which was just a huge God thing. We never really thought that we needed a building, and now we have an entire grocery store and have every inch of it is full. Every inch is taken up with different resources and different programs that are going on. And we're still operating. We're not open as far as you're not free to walk in the door right this second because of COVID, but we're not stopping any services. Everything is still happening.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So what all services are available to families at the CCC?
All right. We have got jobs is one of my favorites. My friend Ramona Wilson does that. And if anybody...
Is that Sam's mom?
It is Sam's mom, yes. It is. If anybody now wants a job, all you have to do or is looking for a job, call 770-574-5433, and you have to leave a message. We're all volunteers. Everything we do there, every service we provide is from volunteers and by donations. We have over 30 churches who help us do this. So you do have to leave a message, and then the volunteer on call will check the message during their work break and call you back. But leave a message if you're looking for a job. In the beginning, Ramona was searching for jobs. Now those employers call her and say, we need somebody, help us find somebody. So she knows of several, and she works with all the temp agencies. She can help you do your resume. She has several other ladies that work with her that assist with that. Our medical clinic is still open on an appointment basis. So if you need anything from our free medical clinic, contact 678-573-3400. You just have to be over 18 and not have insurance. If you want your GED class, we're still doing GED classes. It's obviously set up a little bit different for safety issues, but if you are over 16 and need to receive your GED, call that same number, 770-574-5433, and leave me a message, and I will get in touch with Tommy Baker and Kevin Stevens, and they'll contact you. Pregnancy Resource Center, they are there at our CCC in Tallapoosa, but right now they're operating out of Carrollton. Unless you make an appointment with them, that number is 770-832-0256. And if you need to know any other resources available in our county, we've got a great resource guide now that Healthy Harrelson did for us. Call 678-647-HELP or 4357. Or you can go online to gethealthyharrelson.org. Both are very simple to follow. Any assistance with housing, utilities, jobs, daycares, medical, anything you need. Or you can call me at Harrelson Family Connection, 770-328-1736. And I think that covers all the services. And of course, every day there's something new and different. We have diapers now. We have things for babies now because so many people have donated great things that we can give away now. So we have things that aren't part of our official what we do, but we can help make it happen for you.
Talking about the babies, you know, I know that's a lot of what the Pregnancy Resource Center does. Mm-hmm. They help support, mm-hmm. not only, you know, help you find out if you're pregnant, make that decision about to keep your baby, mm-hmm. And then support you after pregnancy, making sure you have access to supplies if you need mm-hmm. it, and then getting you plugged in with WIC, Medicaid, whatever services. But talking about like the jobs, you know, we have a growing business. We interview people quite mm-hmm. often, and it's mm-hmm. it's always kind of, I hate to say it this way, but a little bit surprising sometimes how people come dressed to an interview.
Yeah. They don't know.
Or mm-mm. what they, you know, what they present as their resume.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something I think taking for granted, having been to a professional school and whatnot, it's, right. you know, things you learn to do. And so mm-hmm. I also realized that people don't always have access to professional clothes. So something I've thrown out to a few people before is, I think there needs to be like a professional closet.
Right.
You know, free, mm-hmm. you know, there are places you can go get free clothes, but it's not mm-hmm. necessarily what you would wear to a job interview. I just think it would be mm-hmm. so awesome to have a place where people could, who are trying to start over or mm-hmm. fresh start or mm-hmm. are trying to make a way for their family and whatever, to have a place where they can go and get professional business attire for free, an outfit that they, mm-hmm. even if it's just one outfit and this is what you wear to all your job interviews, that they feel good in, they feel right. confident in, they look professional in, mm-hmm. You know, along with that resume building.
Anytime, I've had several friends and different people I've met who ask, what do I do with my suits that don't fit anymore or my work clothes? And I've encouraged them to take them to Christ Closet in Tallapoosa, down by West Georgia Golf. They are one of those clothes closets that they're constantly working in there. Nothing's just sitting. are piling up. I mean, they have a lot that they have to go through, but they're constantly going through them. They take really good care of them. And so you can walk in there and tell them. You can't walk in there right now because of COVID. You have to call and discuss it with them. But you can walk in there and tell them what you're doing, and they'll help you find those professional clothes. To be a clothes closet in a small town, they're awesome.
And it's free.
It's free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge.
And it's just run
that's
by volunteers huge. Out of the refuge.
Yeah.
They're in Tallapoosa.
Mm-hmm. Because I know, you know, a lot of professionals who have, you know, plenty of money, and they, mm-hmm. you know, buy new clothes all the time and getting rid of the old stuff, and it's not, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with it. Uh-huh. They just don't wear it anymore. And mm-hmm. I'm guilty of this too. You know, I'd love to know that somebody can, to put it really good, mm-hmm. to good use, you know, and, mm-hmm. And to help somebody have that professional attire when they go for a job interview.
Because you can't go purchase those things until you already have the job.
Correct. Right? Mm-hmm. Correct. It is, that's just one of those gaps that, you know, mm-hmm. needs to be filled. And a lot of people consign their clothes or whatnot, and that's fine, but yeah. I'd rather donate. I'd rather somebody take mine that's going to really be able to use it than...
Exactly.
And consign it. You know?
Eric McDonald, actually, out of the chamber, is one of the first ones that approached me about suits. And I had never really stopped and thought about it because in my job, I don't work with a lot of families where the male wears a suit. Not a lot of jobs in our county that require suits, but there certainly are. And certainly during the application process, you know, the interview process.
Yeah, it's better to be overdressed mm-hmm. in an interview than underdressed.
He's
you know?
One of the first ones that brought me some suits and made me realize that we were missing that. It's easier for a female to dress up or to dress more decent than it is. It's very expensive for a man to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of our vendors at the spa did sort of I guess there's a nonprofit organization that they had partnered with where you could donate accessories. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's simple, like you said, and it was targeted towards women. It's simple to mm-hmm. get a black skirt, a black shirt, whatever, but, you know, accessories can make a big difference. So they collected jewelry, purses, belts, shoes that were professional.
Idea.
Yeah, that was just a really good way to... for women to help women, you know?
I love that.
A lot of us have more shoes than we ever need or will ever wear, and so mm-hmm. give it to somebody who might need that pair for their next job interview, you know, give a sister a hand up over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I like that.
So what drew you to social work? That's a hard job. It's an emotionally draining job because I think to be good at it, you have to care. You have to care enough to work at it, and when you're that kind of an empathetic person, that takes a lot out of you.
It does, and it sounds corny, but it's one of those things that it's not really a career thing. It's just that's your choice, that's your life, and I think that's what I love so much about it, is I've got to do it in so many different, from DFACs to the school system, to Babies Can't Wait, to Family Connections, but it's all just a matter of meeting with families and meeting their needs and building a relationship with them. So it's all the same, just in different buildings. But it's so funny, when I was in middle school or maybe fifth grade, do you remember Chips? You're too young for Chips.
I know you're talking about.
The motorcycle.
I know.
They had found a child that had been abused and put the child in foster care. And from that day forward, I was like, oh, I'm going to grow up and do that. I want to do that.
Aww.
But being a preacher's kid, he's a social worker.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We were constantly having to meet the needs, find out the needs, build relationships with the people in the community and in the church. And when, especially, you know, 50 years ago, anybody who did need something, the church is who they turn to, as mm-hmm. you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And there weren't nonprofits, there weren't other agencies to do that. The church met those basic needs. So I kind of grew up doing that, or knowing to do that, and loving doing that.
God just wove that into who you are.
Apparently so, I guess.
I can't imagine you ever walking away from that.
Oh, no.
Kind of.
No, you probably
can't even imagine yourself doing anything else.
No, when people talk about retiring, and I'm obviously at that age now where all of my friends are going to retire and are talking about retiring, and I could not imagine doing that. I hope to do less, or because let's be honest, the volunteer part of it, and we're all involved in so many different nonprofits and so many different organizations. I do plan to one day slow down on some things so that you can, you know, I want to be able to concentrate more on just a few, because you don't feel like you're ever doing a really good job when you're just doing a little bit for a lot. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Lord, so, yeah, we know what you're talking about.
You know, but
you just spread yourself so thin. You feel like you're doing an okay job at a lot of things and not a great job at any one thing.
And okay helps a little, but not as much as it should, you know. But then at the end of the day, how do you pick and choose what to do? And that's why I love, I mean, really, that is why I love the CCC, because it's a little bit of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys and ladies are so open to, if there is a new need that comes up, and I'll be honest with y'all, and I haven't announced this yet or said this out loud, so putting it out loud, I'm going to have to do something about it. But in the last few weeks, y'all, my phone, teen pregnancy is huge in Harrelson County right now. Middle schoolers.
Holy moly.
So,
okay, this goes to why children need to go back to school during this pandemic. There is a lot going on that we aren't seeing.
They're just, you know, their parents had to go back to work as soon as they quit being quarantined, you know, and they have to work. They're not, you know, and they're middle schoolers. I did not have a supervisor for my middle schoolers when during the summer, you know, and especially since they've had way longer than normal during their summer break.
So what can we do about it?
I don't know. I got to
figure it out. But that's just on
but
your...
But thank goodness we have the Pregnancy Resource Center.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest
And I've
with
been
you.
Praying with Roxanne and everybody else that I want that Pregnancy Resource Center in Tallapoosa to take off. I want that to happen.
And they
not,
take
not
off
because
so
you
badly.
Want mm-hmm. teen pregnancy, but because teen pregnancy happens, I want that Pregnancy Resource Center to take off. I want families to have the support.
Mm-hmm. And I've just been doing, I've been kind of blown away. The high school thing, I'm still good with that as far as that doesn't take my breath away. But when you tell me a middle schooler, just because they just have no way of knowing what all they're, not that a high schooler does either, really. I was 24 and need to go back and redo all of that, you know. But middle school.
I was a 28-year-old physician and cried the morning that I was going to be induced.
I was almost 30 when I...
And I've been wanting a baby for 5 years.
Yeah. And it's scary no matter what age you are.
And you just want to go back and say, gosh, let me do that again. And how much harder it's going to be for them to finish that eighth grade or to graduate high school. And then there's the normal adult world, you know, that they were going to be stepping into. So I've just been going to their houses, and I know it's COVID, and I promise I'm being careful, and I'm not going inside their houses, but I've just been trying.
God's not worried about COVID. God's worried about us doing the right thing.
And it's the least of their worries at that house right now, you know, and I've just been trying to, because I can promise you those middle school and high schoolers don't know what services are out there. You know,
it's never been on their radar. They've never had to care about it.
And their parents don't know. And they're all, of course, unique circumstances. And those grandparents now need our support more than ever also. So I don't know. It's not a new thing, obviously, but it's these numbers seem higher.
The volume of it is more.
And what's awesome about our Harrelson County school system and our Bremen school system is I can just pick up the phone, and I did last week picked up the phone with the youngest one and called that one of the counselors in a panic and said, what do we do? What do we do? You know, and because she has worked with that family for years, and she was able to guide me a little bit on how to reach that family or build a relationship with that family, because that's where you've got to start. I can take these lovely cards. I'm actually even going to recommend at the end, you know, let me know if anybody needs them. I'll tape it to their mailbox and then be COVID aware. But you know, it doesn't matter if you don't build a relationship with them and they don't feel comfortable. You know, they have no reason to trust us or know us, or they're a little stressed right now, or they're about to be a little stressed when they realize what all's headed their way. And so you have to kind of go old school and build relationships. It's the only bad thing about all these awesome Zoom meetings and online. It's so great, but gosh, it's missing the important stuff.
Yes.
And my house, we've moved, and we literally have no Wi-Fi. We have no Verizon service.
You're out in the sticks.
We are out in the sticks. And so So my son, if colleges don't reopen, we don't know how he's going to do it. I mean, I guess he's going to come sit at my table in my office, you know. So I'm very aware of all the students in our county who cannot do that and cannot get the services that they need. They can't. Even this is why we have a phone line for a resource guide, because we can't just have an online guide like a lot of counties do. That's not enough for us.
I think that a lot of people in power, I'm going to go political just a little bit. I think a lot of people in power, and I'm not just talking about locally, I'm just talking about globally even, are very disconnected to the realities that a lot of American families face.
Absolutely.
Especially rural America.
Rural America, when you are sitting at the top, Wi-Fi everywhere you go, access, you know, unlimited access to whatever you need, it is very difficult to make appropriate policy for something you have never experienced.
Exactly.
And that's a hard thing. And my husband said for years, you know, social programs should be run by the church. That is the way, an ideal world that God designed it. You know, we the church, not the church building, we the church as a people should be taking care of each other. We shouldn't be leaving this kind of stuff up to the government.
Right.
And I do think we live in a community where people are aware of a lot of the challenges that face families locally, and they do step up and help where they can. But you are such an integral part of this whole thing. People know who you are, and they know, like, I don't know what to do about this. Let me call her. I don't know how to get them help. Let me call her. You know, like, you're such an important piece of that puzzle. You know, just God uses you in a lot of ways.
Thank you for saying that. But and it's so, again, it's like a new thing for the CCC, whereas they would have called for assistance with food or utility bills. Well, now they literally need assistance with getting internet service. And I can't get it at my house, but if they can get it, they may be able to get it, but they can't pay another monthly bill.
They're already struggling to eat.
Yeah, so who would have known, you know, that there's a new bill we need to help with? You know, new utility. It's just constantly changing in everything that we're doing right now.
Right. I think this is going to be the third podcast in a row I've said this, so I hope people are listening. If people open their eyes, pray for God to open their eyes, this is, COVID has been an opportunity to love our neighbors like we've never had before.
Yes, and that is what I sat out of my car for 20 minutes before I came in to try to figure out how to word that. Just check on your neighbor.
Yeah.
Just that house that you, God makes you notice on your way home from work, he's making you notice it for a reason. What do they need? You know, I had a pastor friend who said, you know, this is such a great age because so many people are reached through online church, which is so true and it's so great. But I can promise you there's so many people in our county who do not know how to do that, who those churches are. That is available. They don't just automatically know that. They may not have access to that. So kind of like when I was younger and you had Vacation Bible School and you stuck the little invitation, the little postcard on the mailbox or taped it to the door, we almost need to do that. You know, did you know we would love to have you join us at church? We would love to have you. Did you know we're online? Did you know that we have this children's program that you can watch through our church that you can watch with your child at home to... There are these great things out there, but everybody has to make sure their neighbors know.
You can only reach people online who are already online.
Who are already there, yes.
Social media is great for people who are already on social media.
I had a friend of mine who's a senior citizen. He asked me the other day, he said, you know, I figured out how to get to that service because that's on Facebook Live. He said, but I can't find this service. And so I had to explain, well, that one's on YouTube. And then this one, it's none of it's simple. None of it's the same. One area of work we have to use is Zoom meeting. Well, the schools have to use Google Teams. Well, the therapists have to use WebEx. You know, nothing is that simple. It's not just black and white. Somebody's got to share. And let's be honest, they're not necessarily going to choose to do that on their own. Why would they? They're a little stressed out. There's a lot going on. Or that's not what they're thinking about. But if somebody actually stuck something in their mail, and is that safe as a doctor? Is that safe for somebody to stick something in somebody's mailbox right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
They're getting their mail.
Yeah.
They're getting their mail. Is it legal though?
I think it is a federal offense.
I think you have to tape it to the outside.
I think you got to tape it to the outside.
Okay. I'm not telling you to put it in the mailbox, but really go old school.
But we live out here. I put stuff in people's mailbox all the time.
I do too.
Well, I've never been arrested so far. Hopefully I won't.
But think of a way. And you know what? If it's the senior citizen, then knock on the door and back away. And have a conversation with them. Do you need anything? You know, this is when you need to go back to, we cooked extra. Can I bring you a plate? Because they're just lonely right now. You know, they are so isolated and have to, and our senior citizen centers are so awesome in our county also, and trying to reach them and do things for them. But imagine if you actually left a note for somebody or personally called them and said, hey, come, you know, we can be Jesus's hand and feet all day long. I can give you that food every week, but if I'm not telling you about Jesus, then I'm not really doing you any good. I am a big believer that I need to feed you first or meet your basic needs.
Yep,
I do
believe
that.
Yep, yeah.
For you to even trust me or take me serious. Right. I do believe that.
What good is it for you to come preach at me when I'm sitting here starving to death?
Exactly. Yeah. But at the end of the day, also, if I've left you with enough meals for a week and everything you need, but I haven't told you about Jesus, then I really have not served my purpose. I haven't done you any good. So we need to, as a community and all these churches, but really the members of the churches need to be the one to just check on your neighbor. Just you know, see what they need. And it's usually going to be something little. It's not going to be some major. Sometimes there are, you know. But then call me. If your neighbor needs something major and needs several resources, then call us at the CCC. Call me. Let me help with that. But if it would mean much more if it was... And it would be less embarrassing for them if it was their neighbor who did it instead of having to contact an agency.
Yeah, for sure. So how can those of us who can help, how do we help? What does the CCC need? How can a listener to this podcast who feels convicted help?
Well, it sounds simple. I know everybody always says this, but money, and I know that. And let me just give you some numbers just to give you an idea. The world shut down. I say BC, and I shouldn't. That's really not what you're supposed to use that for. But before COVID.
Before COVID, yeah.
Before COVID, you know, well, since March 16th, we provided 8,000 cooked meals. And that was with several weeks that we did not provide the hot meals because all of our volunteers, think about your volunteers who are able to come and be there all day and cook, they're retired. They're over that safe age limit in the beginning when we were all quarantined, when they were quarantined. But we're still able to provide 8,000 meals, 4,100 food boxes or produce boxes. We've given out, since this all started, 180,000 pounds of food.
Oh my goodness.
13,500 people. And it's a lot of people who did not have to go before. They were employed before. And even though unemployment is a great thing and that has been so great, if you're one of the ones that had to apply for it, you knew that it took a while. That did not start immediately. That took a while. So those families were scared to death in the meantime.
Yeah.
In the beginning, when all this happened, the Atlanta Community Food Bank, where we get our food, was in the middle of moving. So they couldn't immediately help us when all this started. So I had school, the teachers, the counselors, we had different churches. We had the whole county just stepped up and started bringing canned foods and a lot of kid-friendly food. We gave out a lot of what we called student bags. And have y'all heard of the backpack program?
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never thought of this on my own. I was too panicked on everything else. Those churches started bringing us their food that they put in those backpacks to send home to those students. So we were still able to give that out through the CCC. And what we've done since March 16th is a drive-through. You pull through and you pop your trunk and you don't get out of your car, you don't do anything, and we put the food in your trunk to keep it as safe as we can. But that just gives you an idea, all of our funding, and thanks to people like Community Foundation of West Georgia, y'all know, but they're amazing, and they immediately stepped up and started this network of all the different agencies that serve families, and they still meet regularly to figure out how to address those needs. And they kind of rationed it out. Like, we concentrated on food, and we were able to send them to St. Margaret's and St. Vincent's and Open Hands here in Carroll County, which is awesome. We're also serving our Harrelson County families. So all of our funding went to food, and from the grants from the Community Foundation, several corporate sponsors, and just friends and family calling. And just even this week, one of the Bible study groups, a ladies, I think there's only five in the Bible study out of First Methodist Church in Bremen, sent us $800. Mm-hmm. Just five ladies who got together, you know, and called and said, what can we do?
I think that same Sunday school class bought, I forget how many Bibles for FCA that they were on last week.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, but that, to me, that's love in action.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, maybe they can't come volunteer, maybe they can't come do this, but you know what, mm-hmm. I got a little extra money, we can send some food, or we can buy some Bibles for students, or we can, you know.
And they were concerned because at that time when they did that, they did not feel safe going to the grocery store at that time.
Right.
But that actually, that's okay, because if you donate your money to the CCC, then we can purchase that food at a tiny fraction of the cost through the Atlanta Community Food Bank.
That's good to know.
Yeah, yeah, so we can make your money go so much further anyways. You don't have to feel guilty for not going to the grocery store.
What about meat? Do y'all do meat, or are these dry goods?
We do. No, they do meat every other week. That'll be this Thursday night. We're every Thursday night from 5 to 7, and we do produce, fruits and vegetables, one Thursday night, and then the next is the canned foods, meat. We always have bread. We have a gallon of milk every so many weeks, and I'm not real sure where that comes from. I just know sometimes we're able to give out milk. I'm not sure who. I don't know if that's coming from the food bank or somebody else, but we always have a ton of bread and then meat every other week, and it's in a huge bag.
Can you take private donations of food, though?
You can. You can.
Can local farmers donate a cow?
Absolutely. Well, the only thing with that is
processed, I guess.
Yes, and I've heard.
I'm not just going to tie a cow up to the CCC.
Right. Don't just bring your cow.
Here's Bessie. You can have her.
And I have heard, just on a side note, I heard somebody say that the processing places are backed up right now.
Yeah, you can't get anything processed at Jeffers till February, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
when we first opened at our location now, and we were smaller, we had farmers who brought us their extra vegetables, and we were able to give it out. Now the Atlanta Community Food Bank and Healthy Harrelson do a great job of getting us big boxes of produce.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So make donations to the CCC. You can mail a check?
Absolutely.
Is there a way to donate online?
I'll find out. Call me at that 574-5433 number, and I will find out, because they were going to look into that.
I know my church, during this whole thing, set up its own PayPal account.
That's
and
what
so
doing.
I have like an automatic draft out of PayPal every month. Just goes to my church. I don't have to write a check. I don't have to think about it. It just goes every month to my church now, and I love it.
That's
so I always think that's a great way for nonprofit organizations, just to have like PayPal or whatever, just so it automatically just goes, you know, and that's just part of your tithe every month.
I love that.
Anyway.
But yes, you can absolutely bring food donations. We're hoping, we thought we were going to get to reopen in August, and that is not looking like that, because we will have, we serve 700 people every Thursday night. So it's not safe for us right now. There is no way to social distance.
700 people every week get a meal.
Every week. Mm-hmm. Yes. And right now.
In Harrelson County, Georgia. We're not talking about Atlanta. We're not talking about.
Exactly.
Douglasville, Harrelson County, Georgia.
Exactly. Yes. And it's not, you know, it's not like they're coming and. I don't, you know, when people say, oh, I saw them go through Robert Ritchie's also, those great ladies that are there that are doing the food, that have stepped up and did that. It doesn't matter if they went to every food bank available. None of us have enough food to get them through a month, to get a family through a month.
Right.
None of us are able to give them enough. It's a 50-pound box, and that's awesome, and we're so thankful for
it. Well, here's an example. My 7-year-old son, yesterday, I dropped him off at my mom's at 7:45. At 11:45, she texted me, and only a grandmother would feed their child this in 4 hours, you know, a child this in 4 hours. He ate 16 pancakes, one popsicle, two Pop-Tarts, and a big plate of spaghetti. One child in 4 hours.
Yes.
You can't give a family enough food to make it through a month.
No, not even. I wouldn't even really say they could do it a full week if they were really good at meal planning and separating it out. But my teenage son would eat that box in a couple of days.
Right.
So there's just never too much. There's never, or I don't think there is. And if you are giving them too much food, I mean,
is that really so bad?
Yeah, would that be so terrible? You know, as long as it, I know we can't give them too much produce because then we're just giving them something to waste. But a lot of those cars that come through are so good about picking up for that neighbor, picking up for the elderly lady down the road who cannot drive up there. They are so good about taking
it to somebody
else.
If you don't have food, you might not have transportation either. So
exactly.
This goes back to, hey, check on your neighbors.
Exactly, especially if they're senior citizens. Check on them. Because think about the churches closing, and that was that one place that they went.
Yeah.
And even though churches are reopened, our senior citizens are not coming back. There's a few, but they are still being safe and cautious. And they're not all coming back. So even if they don't need that food, you're still making their day by letting them know you thought about them that day. You know, it's never going to be a waste of your time. That's what I tell people when they volunteer at the CCC. You're going to have 100 reasons not to go because we're busy. And you're tired when it's your time to get off work. It's like, God, why did I say I would go volunteer today? But you'll never, ever, 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 ever come and volunteer and on the way home say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Yes,
I should not have done that.
Yeah.
I just don't believe that. Not if you're coming for the right reasons.
Yep.
And it's different. Normally I would give you what all we need volunteers for, and that's not the case right this second. Right now we do absolutely need volunteers to help us pack up all those plates. We really need volunteers between 3:30 and 6:30 to 7. However, we're being very careful about saying that because we need you to use your best judgment that to keep you safe. We can't promise you that you're what the volunteer who's standing beside you is doing. You see what I'm saying?
I do, but this is how I feel about churches too. Like nobody's holding a gun to your head making you go.
Exactly.
You're doing this of your own recognizance. So in that respect, you need to be responsible.
Use your own discernment.
Yeah.
Use your own best
and realize
judgments.
The person next to you may not have, but you're taking that risk because it's important to you to be there.
Yes.
But you also love your neighbor enough that if you're sick, you're going to stay home.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yes, we do need volunteers, but we probably need you to call that 574-5433 number first and let us talk to you
just
about
check
it.
In, yeah.
Yes. We kind of need to stay. We have a nurse that stays at the door that takes your temp as you walk in, gets your information, you know, bring your own mask, or we have some if you don't, and wear gloves. All the things we know to do. But when you put that many people in a room, you know, in a building together, you're still putting yourself at risk. So we don't put out to the churches like we used to.
A minimum age for volunteers?
We usually say around 14. I think we started out with 16, went down to 14, and then we've learned that the younger, the harder they work and the more exciting and willing they are to work. So the age is not so much what matters right now as long as your parent is with you.
And you're able to?
Yes.
To help, be helpful.
Yes, yes. I think it was Dr. Huff's son has been our youngest volunteer and one of our hardest workers that we had putting the plates in the cars when this very first happened and out in the rain, you know, because I said, please don't take a picture of him in the rain.
Bless.
COVID, putting, you know, please don't put that out there. But he's the hardest worker we've had, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He loved it and he was great. So it's kind of just depends
on the kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we're open, when we're normal hours, normal operations, we definitely say 14 or older or with a parent, because I do not know who all 700 of those people are.
Right.
And I can't promise you that, you know, your child does need to be supervised.
Yeah. You want everybody to be a good guy, and not everybody's always a good guy. Yeah.
Yes. But I can't promise you that because we're a Christian organization that your child, you know, everybody relaxes when you get to church, right? And you know your kids can run around and you don't have to worry about them there. I don't know who all of these people are.
Sure. Know? That's just the reality. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you coming on
so much.
Thank you. You've definitely, I think, enlightened us. You've given people something to think about. And I hope and pray that people feel led to help where they can help. So,
and just keep us in your prayers that we are doing the right thing and making the correct decisions. You know, nothing like what the school systems and everybody else are having, but we're still constantly having, are we doing the right thing to keep people safe? So just pray for us specifically to make sure we are.
Yep. Good deal.
Thank you.
Until next time, y'all, check on your neighbors and stay healthy.
Bye.